We're moving right along this morning. Carolyn asked me to speak this morning when she knew she would not be here. And since it's Children's Sunday, she suggested that I speak with regard to our children and our young people. And later on in what I had prepared to say, I was going to say that I've heard it said that in a number of times that we've been really blessed at Plank Chapel with a great bunch of young people and kids. And, you know, I agree with that 100%. We have been truly blessed over the years. And listening to Hannah and watching her this morning just reinforces that we have a great bunch of young people. And not to pick on her out of everybody, but I truly agree with the man who said that we have a great bunch of youth in this church, and that is a blessing. Well, the gospel lesson that I just read out of Mark is one that I think the gospel writers must have thought was pretty important, because it's in all three of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Of course, it's not in John. John is a little bit different viewpoint and talks about different things, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three have this story, and pretty much in the same words in all three of them, if you get a chance to look it up. And what's happening here is Jesus is going through the town. I don't even remember where he is, but a bunch of little children come up wanting to be touched by him and blessed by him. And the disciples are like, no, get them back. Get them youngers out of the way. They just, in a way, they're holding up things. And Jesus got upset. And so he scolded the disciples. And, you know, I don't know. The scripture says that the people that were in charge of those children, you know, pushed them, go up there and let Jesus touch you and he'll bless you. Or maybe the children as a group themselves wanted to be touched by the Son of God. I'm not that clear on that, but either way, Jesus was impressed by this act of simple faith. If you look back in the Gospels, in Jesus' ministry, he would stop in the middle of what he was doing if someone came up to him and said, "I know you're the Son of God. If you touch me or let me touch the hem of your robe, I'll be healed." And very often the people who came up were people you wouldn't expect to be in the forefront of the religious life in the community. You know, this Roman centurion came up. I believe he had a family member or something that was sick, and he came up to Jesus and said, "Let me touch you, and I know my family member will be healed." There were blind people, there were sick people, lame. Those who the Jewish establishment at that time didn't even want to be around these people. They didn't want to touch them. They didn't want to see them. And these are the people who Jesus over and over again seemed impressed with their faith. Just the simple faith of "I believe." You know, that for us, that would be a big leap. You know, I think if Jesus came today and walked into church, most of us would not really believe it was Jesus. But these people believed simply that this was the Son of God. And so Jesus said, you know, and the King James Version tells it a little different, and the language, you know, is easier for me to work with. But, you know, we've always heard, you know, "Suffer the little children to come to me." And what that means, that's just old-fashioned language that they were using back in whatever century they wrote the King James Bible. What it means is, allow them to come up here. Endure it. Put up with it whether you like it or not. You know, it's just old-fashioned language. It just means, let them come to me. Do not hinder them. And, you know, he jumped all over the disciples for wanting to push these kids back. And so why was this such a big deal to the disciples and to Jesus? And you got to remember, Jesus always seemed like he was trying to teach an abstract lesson using common everyday events. And we have to bear in mind the fact that at this time in history and up to the not-so-distant past, children were at the very bottom of the social caste system. on. You know, they were even lower than slaves and servants. Children were not even considered except, you know, maybe the king's children. You know, they got a lot of honor and praise and a lot of looking after. The other kids were simply somebody you had to feed and keep alive until they could be productive and do some work. And, you know, if you think back, it's not a generation or so back. All of us in here with gray hair, I can probably remember, like I remember, that we would go with mom and daddy to see somebody, or somebody would come to the house to see us, and we had to sit in the chair, quiet, all us children, with our hands on our lap, and you better not fidget, and, you know, you get tired after a while sitting there and listening to grown-ups talk about something you don't care. But we were expected to sit quiet, to not be seen or heard unless somebody spoke to you first. And if you weren't quiet, then you knew you were going to get a whooping later on. And, you know, we indulge our children much more today than we did in the past. And I know a lot of you can think of stories in your own lives. I remember distinctly one time that my daddy took away a piece of ham off my plate at supper one night because I didn't want to eat the fat. I just wanted to eat the lean part. And he got mad, and mama was mad too. And he took it away from me. He took it off my plate, wouldn't give me no more. He said, "You ain't getting no more meat unless you can eat the bad along with the good." He said, "You ain't going to learn to be greedy and think you better than everybody else and pick what you want." And I did not get no more meat until I learned how to eat the fat. And when we eat lunch at work, everybody looks at me like there's something wrong with me because I'll eat a piece of meat or something. I'll eat the fat and everything too. And they're like, "I ain't going to eat that fat." I'm like, "You know, if you was raised in my house, you would have." But that's the way children were expected to do whatever. And, you know, back in these Old Testament days, it's even much more strict, it was. The children were simply not allowed to be part of society. And that's why the disciples were saying, no, get them youngins out of here. And, you know, you've heard that many times, and, you know, children were expected to just do what they were told and be quiet. One of our church members told me the story one time of how his daddy had told him to get up on the roof and help work on the roof, and he said, "No, I can't. I'm scared, Dad. I can't go up there." And this gentleman said that his daddy told him, he said, "Boy, what you need to be scared of is me if you don't go up there." And he said, "I went up there." He said, "I held on with my teeth and my fingernails." And he said, "I didn't do anything at all because I couldn't." He said, "But I went up there because I knew." And, you know, and I know he was telling the truth because I've seen this for myself. You know, that's the way that our parents handle us. And as you go further back in generations, children were simply not honored. They were looked upon as more or less a burden until they could work and be productive. And so here's Jesus speaking to the disciples and saying, "You're trying to hold back the lowest people in society." And you remember Jesus said, "The last will be first and the first will be last." Those who want to be at the top of the ladder are going to be the very last ones to get in God's kingdom. And this is what's important, I think, about this. One of the things about this gospel lesson that is so important is that Christ always, if you think about it, he always went to the bottom of society, the ones that nobody else, the Jewish religious leaders and administration didn't want nothing to do with these people. They would have never thought twice to acknowledge that a child was, worth listening to or taking up time with. It just wasn't done. And think about it. Jesus always chose the lower people, the ones on the bottom, the downtrodden. He chose the prostitutes, the sinners, the tax gatherer. These are the people that society would have shunned and didn't pay any attention to if it was possible to ignore them completely. And these were the people that Jesus went to. And, you know, the lesson here is that God's, in God's kingdom, there is no first and last. everybody would be treated equal. The children, the slaves, the servants, the bottom of society will be accepted, if anything, quicker than those who think they are going to be at the top of it. You know, the disciples were always fighting amongst themselves over who was going to be the number one guy when they got to heaven. And, you know, Jesus told them, said, whoever of you is number one here on earth is going to be the last one when we get to heaven. And, you know, now we treat our children so much differently. You know, we honor our children. We praise them. We make a lot of them when they do well. And I think sometimes we maybe go too far and we try to shelter our children from failure, from disappointment and things like that. And maybe we go a little bit too far with that. But I don't want to wander too much from the point of this sermon, which is, firstly, that the ones who are the lowest in our eyes would be the highest in God's eyes. And there's another part of this passage I think that's also important. And Jesus said further when he was fussing at the disciples that the only people who will see the kingdom of God are those who approach it as a little child. And it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to start learning about it when you're 2 years old and you'll be better off than somebody that waits till they're six. That's not what it means. And for many years, I thought that's what it meant, and I couldn't understand it. But what it means is the faith of a little child. You know, I remember when Amy, our daughter, was little bitty, I could tell her. She always wanted me to tell her stories and stuff at night before she went to bed. And I'd make up some crazy story, and it would all be a lie. Just something made up, and she would just sit there with her eyes just and believe in every word of it. And, you know, when she got older and realized I was just making it up, I think she was kind of disappointed. But the faith of a child, you know, our children, if we treat them well, they believe us. They think we're infallible as parents. They believe everything we tell them until they get old enough to realize that people do tell lies. But a little small child who has not learned much of the ways of the world has faith in those who have authority over them, who care for them. And this, I think, is what Jesus is trying to say, is you have to come to God with that kind of pure, unquestioning faith. Just like however the little children got up to him, they thought, this is Jesus, this is the Son of God. You know, if we can touch him, we'll be blessed. Just like the sick people reached out and said, please let me touch your robe and I'll be well. You know, that's the kind of faith that Jesus says God wants. And that's a hard kind of faith for us once you get grown. And you got so many things in the world that you see that you can't believe anymore. It's a difficult thing for us to have the faith of a child. But this is what Jesus is saying is the way to be accepted by God, is to accept him with that innocent faith of a child. Without question, just accept him. Just like you remember in Job, when Job was having all this bad luck, and he started questioning God, you know, I've been good. Why you got a right to do all this to me? And God got mad and said, you know, you didn't. I'm God. You are not. You don't have the right to ask me questions that make me defend my actions. And God was irritated with Job because Job did. And it's, you know, for us as grown-ups, it's not hard to understand why Job was getting a little bit disgusted with God, because God wasn't helping him out. He was letting him, you know, get stomped on real bad. And God says, you know, no matter what happens, I'm God, and you do not have the right to question me. You believe in me or you don't. And again, that's similar to what Jesus was saying here, is you got to believe, and you believe completely and without question. And you believe even though you can't understand and can't see evidence. This is coming to God like a little child with that pure faith, I think. I think that's what Jesus was trying to say here. And going back to what I said at the beginning, this is Children's Sunday, so we're, you know, kind of honoring our children and young people today. And again, we have been blessed, very blessed, with a good bunch of young people in this church, in this community, for as long as I can remember. And, you know, our children are the future of this church, of the world, actually. So if we nurture them and mentor them as Christians like we should, then I think we'll always have a good bunch of children. And, you know, there are, I think maybe our children are, and not to take credit on ourselves, but many of the children of this church and community, I think, do well because that's the values they grew up with. And so, you know, we should be thankful that we've had a lot of parents who tried to do the best they could with the children. And, you know, that's something that children are a valuable asset to us. An asset is not really the right word, but, you know, they're our future. I never understood why for so long society didn't seem to see it that way. You know, like I was talking about earlier, children were for so long on the bottom of society. And, you know, they're still more or less powerless. But we indulge our children. We show them respect much more than we used to. And, you know, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But I would not think of doing some of the things to our daughter that mom and daddy routinely did to us, because I didn't think it was right. And I know, you know, a lot of you probably feel the same. But we still try to instill the values that we were taught as children, and we try to keep doing that generation after generation. You know, a farmer wouldn't plant a crop without doing everything and giving it everything that's in his power to make it prosper. Well, that's the way we should do our children. And we should give them and everything in our power to make them prosper. And that's not necessarily video games and cell phones and cars and stuff. It's values that are taught. And as Christian, as people who call ourselves Christians, I think we're obliged to do that. And, you know, because our actions speak more than anything I or anybody else can get up here and say. It's how we treat our children, how we teach them, that's important. And I know that children are not dumb, and they see through you when you're being hypocritical. I know Amy always did. If I was telling her to do something and I didn't do the same thing I was telling her to do, and she saw through it right away. So, you know, we need to be honest and respect and value our children. And it's a blessing that we have these young people and the opportunity to mentor them and help them develop. And, you know, there's a lot of kids now that don't have that, you know. They don't have a church family, an extended family that cares about them. There are so many kids now who are brought up without mentoring or with mentoring and guidance from the wrong people. And I noticed that a lot of churches locally and everywhere in the world have turned to, as one of their missional things, to mentoring young kids. And I think that's really a good thing. I think it's something everybody should do. And, you know, I wish I was brave enough to do that. I think there are several local churches that have started this ministry of mentoring kids just after school, helping them with school, just being an example to them, a positive example. And I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, maybe we could save some of the children that everybody complains about going bad by making this effort. And, you know, again, I wish I was brave enough, and I wished I had enough faith of a child that I could start to help with that kind of ministry. You know, I think we all could do that. You know, the reason that our children make us proud, I think, is because of the support that they have. And, you know, think about those that do not. And before we go to the closing hymn, I forgot to mention this during the announcements.